Try 4 weeks of The Spectator absolutely free. And, for this month only, you'll receive a Spectator wireless phone charger. Go to www.spectator.co.uk/charger.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, The Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Katie Balls and this is the Sunday Roundup. This morning, Andrew Marr spoke to Professor John Edmonds, an epidemiologist at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine, who has been advising the government throughout the coronavirus crisis. With the UK's official death toll having now passed 40,000, Marr asked Edmonds if he thought things could have been handled differently.
Yes, we should have gone into lockdown earlier. I think it would have been hard to do it. I think the data that we were dealing with in the early part of March and our kind of situational awareness was really quite poor. And so I think it would have been very hard to pull the trigger at that point. But I wish we had. Gone into lockdown earlier. I think that has cost a lot of lives, unfortunately.
Marr was later joined by the Health Secretary, Matt Hancock, and asked him if he agreed with what Edmonds had to say.
No. I think we took the right decisions at the right time. And there's a broad range on Sage of scientific opinion. And we were guided by the science, which means guided by the balance of that opinion as expressed to ministers through the chief medical officer and the chief scientific advisor. That's the right way for it to have been done.
I'm not saying it was an easy decision, sure. But he is absolutely clear that it cost lives not locking earlier.
Well, there are others who equally make different scientific arguments. And the way that this is done...
Is there anyone who thinks it didn't cost lives?
Well, yes. If you listen to the balance of opinion on Sage, 100 people on Sage approximately, what we do as ministers is we take the scientific advice channeled through the chief medical officer on the medical side, the chief scientific advisor on the broader science, and then we have to, as Professor Edmonds said, we have to make the balanced judgments based on that advice. And that's the way it works. So you'll always, in a body of 100 people, you'll always find differing voices. Totally reasonable.
Absolutely clear. You are sure that locking when you did and not earlier did not cost lives?
I'm sure. And as I keep looking back on that period, I'm sure that taking into account everything we knew at that moment, we made the... my view is... that we made the right decisions at the right time. But the other thing I'd say, Andrew, is that I spend most of my time trying to rid this country, rid all of us of this ghastly virus. And really, most of my time and energy I devote to looking forwards, as well, of course, as trying to learn lessons from what happened in the past.
Hancock was also interviewed by Sophie Ridge, who asked him for his response to the protests that have been taking place across the UK in response to the death of George Floyd in America.
Of course, you can have deep sympathy with the aims, the protests that we've seen this week, but also have concerns about the number of people gathering in a pandemic. Do you think that seeing the number of people that we did gathering in groups means that an increase in cases of COVID-19 is now more likely?
Well, it's undoubtedly a risk. It's undoubtedly a risk. So, you know, I support very strongly the argument that is being made by those who are protesting for more equality and against discrimination. But the virus itself doesn't discriminate. And gathering in large groups is temporarily against the rules precisely because it increases the risk of the spread of this virus. So I would urge people to make their argument, and I will support you in making that argument, but please don't spread this virus, which has already done so much damage and which we're starting to get under control.
Ridge pushed Hancock on the lack of black ministers around the cabinet table. This was Hancock's reply.
The two cabinets I've sat in with Boris Johnson as Prime Minister are the two most diverse cabinets I've ever sat in. Right at the top of government, including in the great offices of state, people from black and minority ethnic backgrounds. Kwasi Kwarteng was sitting around the cabinet table with me. I think that I think that Boris Johnson has got a very good record on this, and it brings people in and listens to a diversity of views. And it's diversity of thought that's the really important thing when you're taking those big decisions around the cabinet table.
So, actually, are you saying then that people from black backgrounds shouldn't really worry that there isn't a single person from a black background at the current cabinet table because you have diversity of thought?
No, what I'm saying is that the cabinets, the governments that Boris Johnson leads are some of the most diverse in the history of this country. I just was talking about the Minister for Equalities, Kemi Badenoch, who is taking forward this work. You know, she joined the government recently and been brought in by Boris Johnson. And it's that diversity of thought is absolutely critical and incredibly important for making good decisions. But there's a broader point, which is making sure we address this whole issue and make sure that we increase the chances and increase the opportunities for everybody. And in doing that for everybody, so, of course, we must do it for those who are the most disadvantaged, whatever the colour of their skin.
Ma also spoke to the Shadow Foreign Secretary, Lisa Nandy, and asked what she thought about the protests taking place at a time when the coronavirus still looms large.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of the most important things about living in a free society is that people can go out and protest. I've said repeatedly that it must be safe, people should social distance, please take precautions. But I'm very proud of those young people who are coming out and speaking up. You know, I'm someone who has lived with racism in my life. I've seen it with my family. I've seen it in our country. And I think it requires you to take an active stance against it. You cannot be silent in the face of racism and police brutality. And I think those young people are right to raise their voices and to demand change.
The former England footballer John Barnes told Ridge that he felt the UK shared some similarities with the US when it came to racism in society.
Well, it hasn't got a problem like the US in terms of black policemen killing black people on the street, as we saw with the George Floyd fiasco. However, in terms of the disenfranchisement of the inner cities, of the black community not being given access to healthcare, social care, jobs, housing, it's exactly the same. But of course, what we are witnessing in the US, which has outraged people, is the visible face of racism. And the visible face of racism in terms of footballers being abused, the George Floyd situation, and you know, the police, it's an obvious and easy thing to be outraged about. We should be equally as outraged, the fact that our young black kids in the inner cities aren't being given an education, they're not being given housing, and job promotion possibilities. So it isn't like the US in terms of the violence that we may see, but in terms of how impactful it is negatively on the black community, it's exactly the same.
And finally, the veteran Labour MP Margaret Hodge has criticised the return to business in the House of Commons because of the way it excludes MPs who are most at risk from coronavirus.
But I have to say, I think watching last week, it was a Gilbert and Sullivan farce rather than serious Westminster processes that were taking place. And what's happening this week, which makes me so angry, I'm now allowed to vote, but I can't take part in debates around legislation. So tomorrow there is a debate on virtual access, and I would like to virtually take part in that debate. I've been told I can't do that, so I am being disenfranchised and discriminated against on a debate that is discussing my disenfranchisement and my discrimination. It's just a nonsense.
That's all for this week. I'm Katie Balls, and this podcast was produced by Matthew Taylor. Don't forget to subscribe to the Coffee House Shots podcast on the iTunes store. And if you enjoyed this podcast, why not also subscribe to our daily evening blend email? It's a free roundup of all the political news each day, along with analysis and a diary on what to expect next. Just go to spectator.co.uk/eveningblend. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week.
Try 4 weeks of The Spectator absolutely free. And, for this month only, you'll receive a Spectator wireless phone charger. go to www.spectator.co.uk/charger